Let's take our Bibles and go to Galatians chapter 2. We've seen that Galatians is a correctional epistle because of the doctrinal error that had come into the churches of Galatia for failure to adhere to what Paul and Barnabas had taught them on their multiple missionary trips through that region. Another way of understanding is for failure to adhere to Romans, because that's what Paul and Barnabas would have been teaching them, is justification by believing, not by works, not by the law. Christ's substitution for us, which we saw in verse 4 of chapter 1, where it says, Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God and our Father. Christ is a substitute for our sins, and it's believing concerning him that brings about our God-given justification. What occurred in Galatia was really right as the Word of God was coming to these varied cities, was that these legalistic Judaizers, these evil workers, were attacking the teachings of Paul. They were attacking the gospel. And also in doing that, they were attacking the life of Paul, saying that he wasn't qualified, that, I'm sure they were saying many things about him. Some respects, Galatians chapters 1 and 2 were revelation given by God to show Paul's credentials and to show specifically how Paul received the Word of God directly from God, that he was an apostle sent by God, and that the Word that he was teaching came from God. It didn't come from his past education. He was a very learned man, but that education resulted in him persecuting the church. He didn't get the gospel that he was preaching from the 12 apostles at Jerusalem. He only had gone to Jerusalem once after his conversion. It was for a very short period of time, for 15 days, and he only saw two of the apostles, Peter and James, as we saw. So he couldn't have learned it from the apostles. Paul's authority as an apostle, Paul's ministry to the church, is further substantiated by God as we go into Galatians chapter 2. Because it says in verse 1, then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. This is recorded in Acts chapter 15. And let's go to Acts chapter 15 to see what occurred 14 years after Paul's first visit. Acts chapter 15 records what is widely called the Council of Jerusalem. It was precipitated in Acts chapter 15, verse 1, by certain men which came down from Judea that taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. This is part of the doctrine of these legalists, of these religionists of Paul's day, these Judaizers, saying that you had to be circumcised to be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. I love the way God says this. It was no small. Another way of saying it, it was large. It was huge. Paul and Barnabas had a huge dissension and disputation with them. In other words, it precipitated quite an argument, quite a discussion. Paul and Barnabas got in these guys' faces. it's wonderful when you read throughout the Word of God, most notably with Jesus Christ, but also with Peter and Paul and, you know, Moses and stuff. These guys weren't wimps. They had, what you'd say, balls. Paul and Barnabas got in their face. They had no small dissension and disputation with them. And so they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them, which we just learned from Galatians 1, included Titus, Paul, Barnabas, and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem and to the apostles and elders about this question. So, this precipitated what you can read about in Acts chapter 15, the council at Jerusalem. And it would be very advantageous to you to take the time and read all of Acts chapter 15 in light of what we're going to look at here in Galatians chapter 2. But the council at Jerusalem was a question of God's word. It's always a question of God's word. What does the word say? Does the word say that you have to be circumcised to be saved? That was what the question was. So again, this is 14 years after Paul went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with him. And I went up by revelation. Now, Acts chapter 15 didn't mention that. Didn't mention Titus either. But this is another good example of scripture buildup. I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them who are of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. You know, Paul was wise. He was considerate. He didn't want to embarrass the leadership at Jerusalem. These men that had come down from Judea reflected what was being observed and what was being taught at Jerusalem. So Paul gets up to Jerusalem and he tells the leadership there what he was teaching, the gospel that he preached. But he did it privately, not to embarrass the leadership of Jerusalem. Verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Hey, what had those guys said when they came down from Judea to Antioch? They said you had to be circumcised to be saved. But here Paul is traveling with Titus, who's not circumcised. He was a Greek. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. These accusers were accusing Titus of not being saved, you know, accusing Paul of traveling with such a heathen. Well, look at verse 5. It says, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. Paul didn't put up with it even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You know, if the truth of God's word is going to continue with people, somebody's got to stand up for it. Paul did. He stood up for it against these Judaizers that came down from Judea to Antioch. And now he's standing up for it, for the truth of God's word when he gets to Jerusalem. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever the word, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. But of those who seem to be somewhat, for they were, which seemed to be somewhat in conference, added nothing to me. You know, these guys who were kind of conferring amongst each other, you know, kind of comparing notes, figuring out how they could trick Paul or how they could combat the truth of God's word that Paul was speaking. Well, what did they add to Paul's knowledge of the word? Nothing. They added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. You know, after discussion, after Paul laid out the word of God, people at Jerusalem, the leadership, including Peter and James, the Lord's brother, if you can read from Acts 15, including those two very notable apostles, they saw that Paul had been given the ministry to the uncircumcision, like Peter had been given the ministry to the circumcision. So when James, Cephas, who's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, right hand representing blessing, the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, you know, the poor at Jerusalem, the same which I also was forward to do. So this is the result of this council at Jerusalem. They got together. There was quite a discussion about God's word, whether you had to be circumcised to be saved. And they came up with a really kind of a compromise, but they came up with a solution that Paul would continue to minister to the Gentiles, that Peter and the others would minister the word of God to the circumcision, to the Jews, and that Paul should remember the saints at Jerusalem in their finances, in abundant sharing, which it says he was forward to do. Out of this, they wrote a letter that was then circulated amongst the churches. It basically dispelled the notion that you had to be circumcised to be saved. And for that, Paul was thankful. It also did very much cement a division amongst the church at Jerusalem versus the churches of the Gentiles. And it was a problem that continued all the way throughout the first century, something that never really mended. But again, in chapter 2, the beginning of chapter 2, in verses 1 through 10, it says that when Paul did go back to Jerusalem after these 14 years, he was careful to maintain his independence of the apostles there. His fellowship with them was on terms of equality. He was not indebted to them for anything. In fact, they added nothing to his knowledge of God's word. Again, this is in the section where Paul's authority is being stated by God, and that the gospel that Paul was teaching, he got from God. He didn't get it from any man. Then it goes on in verse 11 of Galatians chapter 2. It says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." Now this is recorded in Acts chapter 15 again. Let's go back to Acts chapter 15. From the Council of Jerusalem, they draft these letters that were then circulated amongst the churches. It says in verse 30, "So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation, for the encouragement." You know, they had seen this confrontation that came up earlier when these men at the beginning of Acts 15 had come down from Judea and said you had to be circumcised to be saved. Now they get this letter back saying that that's not a requirement, and they rejoice at the encouragement. It says in verse 35 that Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So Paul, after the Council of Jerusalem, after this letter is delivered, he and Barnabas stay at Antioch. And while they're at Antioch, they're preaching the word of the Lord with many others. And it's during this period of time that Peter comes down to Antioch. So picking up the record again, in verse 11 of Galatians 2, "When Peter was come to Antioch," this is in Acts 15:35, "I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they, the certain that came from James, when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which are of the circumcision. Paul and Barnabas had remained at Antioch teaching the word, and then it says, with many others. Well, some of the others that are represented here are Peter, and now these certain that have come down from James. Prior to the time of these ones of James coming down from Jerusalem, Peter had eaten with those of a Gentile background. But now when James's followers come down, he separates himself and doesn't. You know, in other words, Peter is putting himself back under the law of Moses. It says, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. You know, Peter's example had an influence on the others of a Judean background, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Boy, when you work through Acts and Galatians, Barnabas was so key in Paul's early ministry. Remember when Paul had gone up to Jerusalem for those 15 days, the people didn't believe that he was a disciple. They were afraid of him. But who was it that took him to the apostles and said that, yes, he was a believer, that his conversion was genuine? It was Barnabas. After Paul goes to Tarsus, who was it that went and found Paul and brought him to Antioch in Acts 11? It was Barnabas. Who was it that accompanied Paul on his first missionary journey, which founded the churches at Galatia? It was Barnabas. But now Barnabas is so influenced by Peter and these guys that had come down from James that he's carried away with the dissimulation, that he's putting himself back under the law. Oh my gosh, you talk about a fight. It's one thing if there's people that are not close to you that are contradicting and blaspheming what the Word of God says, but how about when it's the people that are closest to you? You know, Barnabas was as close to Paul as anybody, but he was carried away with their dissimulation. Verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, in other words, right out publicly, if thou, being a Jew, lives after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Boy, Paul nailed him. What a good question. We who are of Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Well, this dissimulation that Barnabas got carried away with wound up with Paul and Barnabas splitting. Paul, when he went on his next missionary journey, didn't go with Barnabas. He took with him Silas. And you can read about that if you take the time to read Acts 15. Barnabas took John Mark with him on his own missionary journey. And by the way, that's the last mention of Barnabas in the Bible. Who do you think was right in this situation? Was it Barnabas or was it Paul? But what is being laid out here is the truth that the Word of God came to Paul by revelation. It didn't come from men. He didn't get it from the other apostles. He didn't get it from his previous education. Paul stood up for the truth of God's Word, first at the Council of Jerusalem. Well, first when the men came down from Judea to Antioch and were saying you had to be circumcised to be saved, he got into a huge argument with them. And then he went up to Jerusalem and spoke the Word of God to the apostles there, and they agreed that Paul was right. And they gave him the hand of blessing. They gave him the right hands of fellowship that he should continue to take the Word to the Gentiles. Then later, when Paul and Barnabas are in Antioch, Peter comes down, and certain from James, and they are putting themselves back into the law so much that it influences even Barnabas. But Paul, throughout this, stood up for the Word of God, for the gospel of grace. So it's very clear throughout this first chapter and a half that Paul is God's man, and that the gospel that Paul is preaching is God's word. Now, what we're going to get into in the rest of Galatians chapter 2, as well as chapters 3 and 4, is addressing the doctrinal issues. What has been addressed thus far is Paul's credentials, but what we're going to see in our next session are the doctrinal issues that were in dispute for the churches of Galatia. So we'll pick up with chapter 2, verse 15 in our next session.